I've got some good news for you today. How many can stand some good news? All right. Just want to give an overview of last week's message. It was called the Victor's Green Light. The Victor's Green Light. What is a victor? A victor is a winner. Somebody who has the victory. It's an overcomer. But today, friend, you might be in a valley, in a low place in your life, in a pit. You might be experiencing poverty, some type of need, maybe depression in your emotions or sickness. You know, if you're in a rough spot today, don't consult your human mind about what to do, because the human mind is finite. It's limited. It can only see so far ahead. Your mind might tell you, well, this is the good thing to do. This is the good move to make. I would encourage you today that if you're in a pit, if you're in a rough spot in your life, consult the Spirit of the living God, because God is going to tell you the God thing to do. See, I myself want to do the God thing and not the good thing. How about you? I want to make the God move and not just the good move. How about you? So you got to consult the Spirit of the living God. Pray to God. Bring your petition, your request before God. And, you know, when you pray to God, God is going to respond to you. Conversation with God is two ways. You pray to God and say, God, here's my need. God listens, and then He responds back. Now, last week we talked about the green lights. If God is saying yes, if He's giving you the green light on an issue in your life, if He's giving you the go-ahead, you'll have a peace on the inside, right here by your chest. But if God is giving you the red light, if He's saying, stop, this is not my plan for you, guess what? You'll have no peace on the inside. Follow the peace of God deep down in your human spirit. Today I want to talk with you about the victor's self-image. The image of an overcomer. You know, as a child, maybe you were talked down upon. Maybe you were told that you were an accident or a mistake, you would never amount to anything. But I'm here to tell you today that those who spoke those words over you were inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. Maybe it was in an adult relationship where somebody abused you in some way and it made you feel small and worthless. And maybe your self-image was shattered. You felt really small. Maybe it wasn't something bad that somebody said or did to you, but maybe it was something bad that you did. A mess up in your own life, maybe a sin that you committed, and you think about what you did, and it kind of shatters your self-image when you think about those things. And you know, you might be thinking, well, I've messed up so bad. I did this, I said that, I thought those wrong thoughts. How could God forgive me? And maybe you've got some regrets on the inside. I would have, I could have, I should have. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, away with this type of thinking. No regrets in Jesus' name. Now, listen, think about this. We've all probably driven a car, right? Now, if you're trying to drive a car forward and you're looking backward, you're not going to have much success, right? You might hurt yourself. You might hurt somebody else. You may mess up the car, right? So think of your life as an automobile. If you're trying to go forward, but you're looking backward towards your past, you're not going to go forward successfully. You're not going to climb out of the pit that you might be in today. You're not going to climb out of the valley that you may be stuck in today, but God is wanting you to go forward. He's wanting you to climb out of the valley and up the mountain. He's wanting you to win in life. He's wanting you to be a victor, but you've got to look forward and not backward. Forget the things which are in the past in Jesus' name. Amen? Look at it this way. When God looks at you, by your faith in Christ, He has forgiven you of your sins. You are justified. All right? Let me go over the Old Testament system of sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the priest would sacrifice animals. Okay? He would sacrifice animals, and the blood of animals was shed. It says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But the blood of animals just covered over sin for a certain number of people and for a certain period of time. Old Testament system of animal sacrifice was imperfect because the blood of animals just covered over sin. The blood of animals was like whiteouts. How many here know what whiteout is? You're writing a paper, right? You wanna kind of get rid of a word, and so you paint some whiteout over it. What does the whiteout do to the ink stain? It just covers it over, right? If you really try, you can probably scratch that whiteout off and see that ink stain again, right? And that's what the Old Testament system of animal sacrifices was like. It was like whiteout. But 2,000 years ago, God sent the perfect Lamb of God who shed His spotless blood for you and for me. And the blood of Jesus Christ erases sin. It completely wipes it away. You see, the blood of Jesus is like a pencil eraser. You might be writing a paper with a pencil. You want to get rid of a word, right? So what do? You turn the pencil over and use the eraser. You get rid of the word, right? You wipe it out. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is like. It's like Clorox bleach. How many would agree? If you've got a stained white garment, you put it in a washer with bleach, and most likely it will wipe away that dirt stain. Amen? And that's what the blood of Christ is like. And you might be thinking today, but how could God forgive my sin? How could God forgive the mess ups of my past? When you're trying to go ahead in life, when you're trying to climb out of the pit that you're in, and the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future in the lake of fire. When he tries to remind you of your sinful past, quote the Word of God to him. Because one of the things that scares the devil so badly is what? It's the Word of Almighty God. And you tell him, Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And when you quote the Word of God to him, he will have to flee. Let's talk about the gift of righteousness for the next few minutes. The gift of righteousness. Romans chapter 3. Paul talks about this righteousness. Verse 21. "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." Verse 22. "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." And he says in verse 21, "This righteousness from God is apart from the law." This righteousness that Paul is writing about is a righteousness which has nothing to do with do's and don'ts. You can't earn this type of righteousness. It's a gift given from God to you by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, some of you might think, well, I've never hurt anybody. I've honored my parents. You know, I go to church and chapel 7 days a week. I do this, I do that. I don't do this, I don't do that. That's not the type of righteousness that Paul the Apostle is writing about. It's not based on do's and don'ts. It is a gift of Almighty God. Look at Romans 5, verse 1. Two chapters over. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What is he saying in this verse? Since we have been justified through faith. He's saying when you placed faith in Christ and said, "Jesus, be my Savior and Lord," you received right standing with God. Right relatedness with God. You received the gift of righteousness. You were clothed with a garment, a robe of righteousness. Another word for this word righteousness is justification. To be justified. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, all of your sin up until that point was forgiven by God. You were justified. When you think of the word justified, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. Let me say this again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and said, Jesus, be my Lord, all of your sin up until that point was forgiven by God. God saw you as pure, as a clean slate, as a brand new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. And you know, you may mess up between the point that you accepted Jesus as Savior and now, and you know, that voice, the devil may try to whisper to you, but you know, you accepted Christ 2 years ago, but between then and now, you messed up. Look what you thought. Look at what you said. Look at the bad thing you did. You tell him no, Satan. The Word of God says that if I confess my sin, God is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I am forgiven by God. Friend, you're justified. Come here, Brett. I've got an illustration here for you. All right, say that an Easter play is going on. How many here have been to an Easter play before? An Easter drama. All right, everybody's playing their parts in the land of Israel, right? And let's say that Brett here happens to be playing the part of Jesus. Okay? And so at some point in the play, Brett is dressed up with a robe. He's got a beard on. Maybe he's got some longer hair. And when Brett walks out on stage, you're not thinking about Brett, right? You're thinking about Jesus. You see Jesus. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sinful past. He sees Jesus, the spotless and the sinless one. Because you've been justified by faith in Christ, just as if I had never sinned. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. And, you know, from the point that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, as I said, and this point, you may mess up. You may slip. You may get weak. But when you get weak, don't get down on yourself. When you think a bad thought or say a bad thing or look at a bad thing, don't get down on yourself. Just confess the sin to God and He forgives it. Now, here's a point I want to make to you. Your self-image has got to be based on how God sees you. Your self-image cannot be based on what somebody else said about you in the past, what that spouse said about you. Your self-image has got to be based on how God sees you. What does it say in Proverbs 23:7? No, Proverbs 23:7. It says, as a man thinketh within himself, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act towards yourself. If you see yourself as defeated and beaten down and in the pit, never being able to get out because of your sinful past, that's where you will remain. But you've got to see yourself the way God sees you, as justified, as forgiven of your sin, leaving your past behind and going forward with the greater thing that God has for your life. Thank God for John 3:16. This is a wonderful Christ-based shelter. But God has got even something more for you. Maybe He's got an apartment, a condominium, a house for you to live in. Thank God for your legs and a bicycle. But God has got something even more for you. An automobile, a vehicle you can drive. You see? God wants you to go higher and higher with Him. You've got to go forward. But in order to go forward, you got to stop looking backwards. Amen? You know, in your life, coming down to brass tacks, practical here, you might be thinking to yourself, you know what, I really want that job at Walmart. But 5 years ago, a voice whispers to you, but don't you remember 5 years ago you shoplifted at such and such a store or at Walmart? You can't get a job at Walmart. You tell that voice or the enemy's voice, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. When God looks at me, He sees me as justified, just as if I had never shoplifted. I am going forward in this area of my life. Maybe in marriage. You're like, man, I really want to get married one day. I want a spouse. But maybe you abused a woman in the past or mistreated her. And that little voice comes to speak to you. Remember what you did to that woman years ago. You can't get married today. You tell that voice or the voice of the enemy, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. When God looks at me, He sees me justified, just as if I had never abused that woman. I'm going forward with my life in this area. Are you getting the picture today? It might be concerning an addiction. You're wanting to get over cigarettes or drinking or drugs. And that little voice whispers to you, but you've smoked cigarettes for so much of your life. You've done drugs for so long. You've drunk alcohol for so many years. Your body's gone. I mean, just keep doing it. You've sinned so much in this area. You tell that little voice, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. When God looks at me, He sees me as justified, just as if I had not been addicted. I'm going forward in this area of my life. I'm getting over these cigarettes, these drugs, this alcohol. Amen? And you've got to see yourself as God sees you. When He looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees you justified. Maybe it's getting involved with some type of ministry. Maybe teaching the Word of God. Man, I want to teach the Word of God, but then this little voice whispers to you. But remember years ago how you down-talked the Word of God. You rebuke that voice in the name of Jesus and say, I rebuke you. God sees me as justified, just as if I had never down-talked the Word of God. I am going forward in this area of my life in fulfilling God's plan for me. What's the key here? Are you getting the picture? It's seeing yourself as God sees you, as justified. Remember, as a person thinks within himself, so is he. If you're always looking backwards, you're going to remain stuck in that pit, in that valley, in that low place. But God is wanting you to climb out as you see yourself the way God sees you, according to His Word. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Amen? Let's look at Jeremiah for a second. How many know the prophet Jeremiah? He didn't have a very good self-image, but God called him as a young man. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Verse 6. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. So we could say from verse 6 that Jeremiah was what? He was somewhat intimidated, right? We could almost say that he had somewhat of a poor self-image. Would you agree? God, I can't do this. I'm just a little kid. You want me to speak your words to the nations? Verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. What was God saying to Jeremiah in verses 7 and 8? He's saying, Jeremiah, see yourself as I see you, as a mighty prophet of God speaking my words to the nations. Don't see yourself as just a little kid. See yourself the way I see you, because I am with you and I will give you the strength. And so the word to you today is this. Don't see yourself in a low way. See yourself as God sees you. Don't see yourself with poor self-image. See yourself as God sees you. He will be with you as you climb out of the pit, the low place that you're in today. God is no respecter of persons. If He did it for Jeremiah, He can do it for you. And if you read the prophet Jeremiah, you can see that he went out with God's strength and he spoke God's word to that nation, because he started seeing himself as God saw him. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. You're not alone, friends. God is right there by your side, giving you His power and His strength. You know, the words that you speak over yourself on a continual basis, you'll start believing about yourself. When you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, tell yourself, you know what? I am justified. Just as if I had never sinned. Say it 10 or 12 times. I am justified. Just as if I had never sinned. I am going to see myself like God sees me. That I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Speak those words over your life, over your mind. And as you speak those words over you, you'll start believing it. You'll start running, and then you'll start flying like an eagle with God's plan for your life. Amen? Amen. You agree with that today? God loves you so very much. You are so valuable to God. Don't let anybody or anything tell you otherwise. You are a gem to God. You are the apple of God's eyes. You can go further than where you're at today, friends. Much further. God has got a wonderful plan in store for your life. I know I've said this before, but where is the wealthiest place in this world? Think about it. Where is the wealthiest place in this world? Okay, so this man says heaven. Somebody else? This brother said it. He hit the nail on the head. He said, okay, that was good. Fort Knox. He said the cemetery, the graveyard. The graveyard is the wealthiest place in this world. You know why? You might be thinking today, the graveyard? How could you say the graveyard, Jonathan? Guess why? Say what?
Gifts that were buried.
There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People that should have climbed out of the pit and that should have soared with God. People that should have written books to advance the kingdom of God. People that should have started corporations that would have financed the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that should have started Christian universities in churches in other cities and countries that never did. And could it be that those people never tapped their potential because maybe they did not see themselves the way God saw them? I don't want to be another graveyard statistic here, friend. How about you? You want to be another graveyard statistic? Go into the grave without tapping your potential? No, right? Say it together with me. No. I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. So God's word to you is start seeing yourself like God sees you. For as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Amen?